Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a podcast hosted by international award-winning author, two-time TEDx speaker and investor, Natalie Torres-Haddad. She will share the tips and tricks from interviews with self-made entrepreneurs, leaders, and those who have attained financial freedom while learning financial literacy.
All right. Hello, hello. Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. It is definitely a podcast to give you some tips and tricks and really just how to cope what we're doing through a pandemic. Today's episode, I am co-hosting with someone that I admire very much. She is not only like a like-minded individual, but it's always funny how we cross paths with people that know our story because they've either lived it through their own experience or obviously are empathetic to what we're going through. So for me, it's always a pleasure to get to know other people that not only have a similar mission, but also want to help and educate others along this path. And she will be helping me with some really cool episodes that we have coming up with some people that I've admired for a very long time. And an added bonus is, you know, she's bilingual, trilingual, really. And I think that's something that's always impressive. And being a podcast where you have both languages is always a plus, at least more than one, right?
Yeah.
So Vera Egli grew up in LA and graduated from LMU, Loyola Marymount University. She is the co-founder of The Why Story, where she helps entrepreneurs build purposeful businesses. And she's also spent the last 15 years in the insurance industry and also currently co-hosts a podcast called Talk Insurance to Me, which basically highlights other inspiring professionals in her industry. She has lived in China, Switzerland, and recently ditched LA and moved to the mountains, which we just had a recent hike. I think she was the first person I saw out of this quarantine that everybody feels like we're going through. And so we'll talk a little bit about it. But first, I'd like to welcome and just ask you, comment allez-vous, Vera?
Très bien, merci. Et toi?
Comme si, comme ça.
Yeah, oui.
This is the truth of it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
A little French here and there. But yeah, it's so funny. You and I had this conversation. We met over a year ago. It's almost a year. And,
yeah.
And actually in person, and we had mutually known each other virtually. And the funny thing is I told her, I'd love to have more, other languages, specifically people that have traveled and lived in other countries as well. And the moment I told her, I actually want to pick up speaking French again, because it's been more than a decade when I was speaking French. And I told her about this little place in France called where?
Okay. Montpellier.
Montpellier. It's south of France. Most people have no idea where this is. It's basically, if you're from California, it's like a little Santa Barbara. You have to, yeah, to live there. But what did you tell me, which made me just crack up?
This is a sign, because what? Like, nobody knows that place. It's definitely like a local type of thing, you know? So when you said that you asked the universe for somebody that speaks French, and then you mentioned you studied in Montpellier, I was like, okay, made to be.
Yes.
My husband's family lives there, so.
Yeah, so I felt the same. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm all about asking the universe for different aspects. And I think it's funny, and you and I met at our last year, which this year is coming up, November 20th, our second annual Make Money Moves with Millionaires. And you came all the way out for our first event, which was so inspiring, right? I mean, still like in awe that happened. And that was the first time we actually got to meet. And we have a mutual friend too, someone that's very dear to me that I've known since pretty much my entire childhood. So I thought it was just kind of a kismet, or, whatever might call it, serendipitous way to talk about it. So I love Vera too, because not only because she's a worldly person, I think that's something that allows us to see different perspectives when it comes to how we invest, how we manage our money, being homeowners, being Latinas, things like that. It makes it a little bit different for other people to understand that there's a whole different background to what, takes us to get to where we are today, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's almost, I don't know, I'm always in shock that I'm a homeowner, that I am Latina, and I was able to do it, because you read all these statistics, even when you're a kid, and you're like, I don't want to be that statistic. I actually want to stand out and be something or someone and have things and crack generational barriers. So
yes, and I always say it's the positive statistic, right? We want to be right. our own if we're going to be put into one. And, exactly. And you're right on. It's kind of like there's moments where I pinch myself. I'm like, how did this happen? And I think that's when it's important to start sharing our stories, because it doesn't matter where you're from. But I think that's something that people need to see, having some of those other perspectives from other parts of the world. And speaking of tomorrow, which is this is actually going to be posted later on, but 10/31 is most people know it as Halloween. Or Hallow's Eve, depending where you're celebrating.
Right.
It's actually World Savings Day. And for the U.S., that's one of the things I'm always talking about, financial literacy and advocating it. But majority of people in the U.S. don't know what World Savings Day is, because they're not celebrating the way they do in Europe. It's all over the world. It's not necessarily a bank day, but it's a day where it's literally teaching and talking about how we should save, right? And for you, maybe you can share a little bit about your story, because you live in a beautiful, mountain area, but affluent as well. And I think that's something that a lot of people, when they're thinking about, let's say, investing in real estate, I know for me, it's overwhelming to think that you could ever have enough money for a down payment, let alone, you know, be able to keep those mortgage payments up. And how would you say mortgage in French?
Hypothèque.
Hypothèque, yes. The first time I remember hearing that, I was like, oh, it sounds like Spanish, hipoteca.
Yeah, so, hipoteca, exactly.
Right? So it's like learning these languages of other, it really combines how small our world really is.
It really bonds all of us. It bonds us, you know? Yeah. We all have the same concerns and the same freakouts, and every culture has this thing where I think fear or misunderstanding of money is just, it breaks culture barriers down. Everyone has it, you know? Yeah. So.
And so how'd you start your journey? Because I know you were pretty much first in your family to be doing this too.
Yes. First generation, first going to college, first, a lot of firsts. So I have to say, I don't know. It's just since I was a kid, I always had this belief of everyone should live life according to how they want to. Right. So I never really did anything traditional in terms of, like, my family's Mexican. My parents grew up in the US. They weren't born here, but they came, like a lot of kids. It wasn't their choice. They were just brought here. So, you know, they had their own difficulties to deal with, and they made it so that my brother and I didn't have to deal with too much, but there was still a lot of Spanish was my first language. I learned English in school, like a lot of us.
Yes.
And, I just saw early on, I grew up in a Chinese environment. My uncle married into the family, he's Chinese. We were all raised Mexican and Chinese. So I think that already broke down a lot of barriers. And the Chinese culture is also very different. They have, I don't know, in some ways they're much more open about how they talk about money. In others, they are not. So it really just depends. Yeah.
My nieces have Chinese, and it's that where I do love that his side of the family, you know, being able to now be exposed to that culture where I'm like, oh, we need to implant that in our own Latino. Mm-hmm.
And how they gift money, right? For different occasions. It's like, here is abundance for you in a little red envelope. And that's what they wish for you, fortune and all that. So that was definitely part of my culture. So already it just taught me to be a little different from some of my other Latino friends. And I was definitely made to feel different because I did grow up in a Chinese environment. So and also my mom just said, like, look, I didn't have an opportunity to travel as much when I was younger. So every year I want to ship you to a new place. So when I was quite young, she, my uncle and my mom literally put me and my cousin on a plane and shipped us to China and was like, go learn Mandarin. Right. So I speak very broken Mandarin. I didn't keep up with it.
My husband, when we first started dating, I was learning Mandarin.
No way.
Actually living in Shanghai. He wanted to learn Spanish, so I was teaching him Spanish and he was teaching me Mandarin.
That's so cool.
And it's the pinyangs that are so hard to get, right? The pinyangs is affluent people. And it was just funny. Him and I would laugh half of our sessions because he couldn't get the R, you know, the R por perro.
Yeah.
And for me, it was like the pinyangs. I'm like, I don't know how to say that.
Yeah, it's so difficult. And it's, but you know, it's funny. It's like, it's not a difficult language to learn when you apply yourself. Mm-hmm. I feel like French and Spanish are so much harder because there's, you know, it's very formulaic. I mean, so is every language, but that one just seems easier.
Format. Yeah.
Right. So yeah, I mean, that really is what exposed me to all the different cultures in the world. And I knew, I'm like, wow, I need to see more. I need to travel. I need to just absorb knowledge. And I was always a kid that read a lot. So for Christmas, I would ask for books. I just wanted to, that's the one way that I could transplant myself into other people's lives, you know? And I felt like language was a way to break down barriers as well and just have, you know, just share something with the culture. And it's the best way to really learn the culture because you'll never be one with it because you're not from that culture. Exactly. But language is a gateway to it, right?
And you just said that we can learn from that culture because I have friends that are, one of my closest friends, she is Korean, brought up in a very different, as far as Latinos go. But I learned so much that I'm like, oh, they start taking these classes when they're little kids instead of like, we were all weekend at a soccer field playing, you know, different teams. And first she's like, oh no, we were taking math classes by the time we were four. And it's like, wow, these are things we can incorporate. And my other friend who's Jewish, she's like, oh yeah, we learned about money in temple. And once we get, before we even got married, we started taking all these classes as a couple. And it's just like, hold up, why don't we do this?
I know. I know. And you know, I guess there is something in Catholicism where they have the classes you have to take before your marriage, right? But for example, it's not really forced upon people. And yeah, and I mean, my husband and I weren't married through the church, so we didn't have any exposure that way. We just kind of imposed it on ourselves to do like self couple counseling, you know, because it's important to have that discussion, but it's not easy. That's for sure.
It's not. I mean, it still isn't. I think people always assume because we talk about, you and I talk about money all the time, that it's easy for us. And it's not one because we're fighting the traumatic, you know, experiences we had as kids or you know, it's something new, a language for us. But when you bring in your partner as well, it makes it a little bit different. One of my favorite books before I got married was called It's by David Bach. It's A Smart Couples Finish Rich. And I think that was something it allowed me to just like, okay, how do I start this conversation? And luckily my husband always was open as well, but we both, there's moments where we still get uncomfortable. Like, okay, can we talk about this?
Or yes.
How do you, I don't know if this happens to you, especially with your home that you're updating all the time, like we are, or it's a fixer up, or you can call it, is how do we defend the reason why we need to buy this purchase as opposed to the other purchase, right?
Right.
And we don't want to be that couple like hides it or doesn't even consult, you know. So it's always an interesting conversation. It's not an easy one, but it needs to be taught, right?
It is. And that's the thing. I grew up in a family where the women would hide the shoes that they bought or, you know, keep it in the trunk until the husband wasn't looking. And, you know, it is something that I was like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Like, I earned it. He earned it. Like, we just put it all out there. And it's ugly. And you cry. Right?
Yeah,
and it's hard and you're like, oh my God, divorce, everything. You get so scared, right? But it's just fear.
Yes.
And, but all of that, you know, everything I've experienced in my life and the troubles, and you realize that everyone has those same kind of issues. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I lived in Switzerland up until 2 years ago. My husband is half French, half Swiss. So I moved to Switzerland and that's where I really woke up to what money really means, because I had just a few thousand dollars saved in my bank account and I was like, I'll make it work. You know, Switzerland is expensive and, you know, I didn't have a job. I went there thinking, oh, I'll find something so fast. You know, I had a good title here, blah, blah. Well, no, it slapped me in the face and was like, who are you? No one cares. You don't know anyone.
Humble experience, right?
Yeah. I had a full-on identity crisis. And thankfully my husband was so patient. He told me like, this is your opportunity to find out who you are as a person. You know, I was like, okay, guru, like, what are you talking about? Right.
True.
I didn't realize that I had to do that. And they have a different mindset with money too. Like debt is a very, very recent thing that they're starting to, like in Mexico, starting to have. Because, you know, they pay cash, you know, they pay their people well. The society takes care of their people. So coming from America, where everything is credit card and debt and all this stuff, it was eye-opening. And I'm so grateful for the experience because I had a few, you know, things that I had to overcome. Mm-hmm. And it really helped me to understand when we came back to the U.S. what we didn't want and how to set up our goals. And even now we're still working on like, how do we want to invest? What do we want to do next? And what about the business? Yeah. All sorts of things.
It keeps changing. It's funny you mentioned, you know, cash, right? Or I would say argent, right? Am I saying? Yeah.
Argent,
right? I remember the first time I went to Paris. Well, it was actually, I was in Paris first because I lived in Spain. And it was not the euro yet, right? And so when I went back and actually lived and studied in France, it was now having to convert everything to the euro. And so all of a sudden I saw the devalue of the dollar and I'm like, whoa, it's going to be more expensive. You took the time to, one, you're a risk taker, obviously, to do that. And I love that story about you because I think that's something people need to hear. It is really scary when you're out of your comfort zone. You have no idea. I had no idea how Americanized I was until I you live into another country and you're like, whoa, I had no idea that people either perceive us like this or, and obviously you and I, we look Latina too. So that makes, makes me a little, confused.
Very confused.
But I go, we're dual. I go, we are American and yet we're also from wherever country we're from as well. Right. And so it's having to have that identity crisis of like, how do I say who I am? But also I think it's beautiful when you look at some of these countries that are extremely similar to what we just have to adapt. We have to learn the language literally.
Or at least try, right? Like in Switzerland where I was, it's the German speaking side. They have a dialect there. So the official language is German, but they have a Swiss dialect. You're never going to learn it like perfectly because you weren't born there, but you can at least try. Yes. And that already they're like, oh, you're American, but you're trying? Okay, that's cool.
Yes. You and know? You're investing. That's what it is. You're investing your time, your money as well, literally, right? You're risking everything. And invest is also very similar to Spanish, right? Invertir, it's actually in French is...
Invertir,
right? Invertir, you have the N.
And that's what's so hard because if you speak Spanish and you speak French, I constantly mix words up. And my mother-in-law is just like, that's not how we say it in French. I'm like, yes, it is. But she's like, I'm French. I know it's not.
I remember just walking the streets and, you know, these are small little towns. And when I'd say something, I'm like, parle français, parle anglais. And then you're like, español, like, you know, anything. You're just like, do you understand what I'm saying? And the words, they come and jumble up in your head. And I think a lot about when it comes to money, our financial literacy is, it does get overwhelming because some words sound similar. They almost sound like sometimes they have the same purpose. Like there's a difference between compounding interest, difference between an interest, and people are like, oh, is it interest that I want on my credit card to be high? I'm like, no, it's the opposite. But when you're investing, you want your interest to be great, a return on investment, right? And so it's always interesting to see how we can incorporate the two. We can talk forever, but we're going to keep it under 20. Yep. I just wanted people to be introduced to who you are, how you're going to be part of this podcast as well, since we have
super excited.
Yeah, me too. Having other, speakers and someone amazing, and just hearing their stories, because a lot of them are self-millionaires, first generation, and being able to highlight what they're doing, especially during pandemic. A lot of us are pivoting. A lot of us are working and focusing on what has worked in the past. So I'm excited to get you part of that. And for those that are going to be showing up to our Make Money Moves a Millionaire, it's going to be a virtual event this year. Fortunately, last year we had it was an amazing spot in LA, right? The view was just breathtaking.
It was.
Had professional photos being taken, and you know, because a lot of people don't have professional headshots. So I'm like, dude, if you want people to take you seriously, have these are things that you invest in. So that was part of inclusion. But I am so proud to be part of this with you. I look forward to talking about our adventures and interviews.
From the Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes team, sending gratitude to veterans and their families. Thank you.
To learn more about the podcast, check out financiallysavvyin20minutes.com. For more interviews, make sure you look up Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes on YouTube and Instagram TV. To hire the trailblazer, as Forbes featured her the financial and mental health advocate for your next workshop or speaking engagement, follow Natalie at Financially Savvy Latina on all social platforms. All it takes is 20 minutes daily to become financially savvy. Music by Nikki and produced by Robert DeLude.